Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, he clung to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." Are you an author? You ever written anything that was published? Well, Josh, there you go. You can say, yep. Some of us have done things like that. Jim Mishick has written a book about his dad, and we have a copy of it in our library. And others have done writing as well. Before I did Loma Meyer's husband Gary's funeral, I read about 150 pages of his life story. There were actually two volumes, probably about 600 pages. I got all the way to the point where his first daughter was born, or his daughter was born, and that was as far as I got. And that was about 150 pages in, the best I remember. I've often wanted to be an author. I would like to write a story about the Kirstein side of my family, my mother's family. My grandpa Kirstein was one of 13 children born to a German family in Lithuania, right on the border with Poland. And grandpa and a brother and a sister came to Detroit just before the First World War began. And during the time that the Second World War was on, Stalin kicked out everybody who was German from Lithuania. And so the rest of the relatives came and went around by the other side of the sea, and then three of the families ended up in West Germany and three in East Germany. So to tell a story about one family that had three very different experiences, I've often thought about it. I've got some notes on it, but I'll never do it. I won't be an author like that. But did you hear what Luke reports here that Peter says? That Jesus was an author. Did you know Jesus was an author? We learn in confirmation class that Jesus didn't write except he wrote it with his finger in the ground. Jesus is the author of life. Can you imagine that? He authored life. We are here because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the beginning of time created us. And I know in the creed that talks about our salvation, it will talk about that God the Father Almighty created us, but we find in Colossians as well that it says that Jesus was there at creation, and all things were made through him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Authors today may write something that you would see on a TV episode or in the newspaper, or in a bookstand, or online somewhere. Nobody knows how to author life. It's hard to even get my mind around that. It's one of the most unique texts in the scriptures to tell us he is really God. He's not just somebody who came along and happened to be a kind of a nice guy. He was God himself. And a lame man is healed outside the temple by Solomon's portico. He asked Peter and John for money. And Peter responds, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." In the power of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Well, that's not really hard for God compared with what Jesus had already done. For the one who is the author of life was put to death. And Peter uses that healing to tell a story. It's sort of like the opening so that he can say to somebody, here's what's really going on. We're not just interested in, does somebody know how to prevent paralysis? But does somebody know how to prevent eternal death? How do you write that story? We who are here, who can't figure it out much about anything, are reminded here in this text that God himself created the universe, and that the Spirit of the Triune God breathes life into Adam and Eve, which they quickly lose when they say we can do fine on our own, and they become spiritually dead and pull themselves away from the author of life. I will never understand the depth of what happened to Jesus on the cross, and I will never understand the depth of why God would do it. Why, knowing that was up ahead, would the Almighty God even create human beings? Make it easy. Skip it. Why go through all that trouble? Why go through all that heartache? The heartache that we feel every week when we see the headlines on the news. I cannot even imagine the heartache that the Almighty God goes through watching this wreck of a planet day after day after day, filled with the hatreds and the jealousies and the wars and everything else that are in our own hearts toward ourselves and toward others and toward God, and which run rampant. And every one of us wonder, why doesn't God just fix this and be done with it? Not just one guy healed, but fix it all. And Peter tells us, he says, our Lord will sit at the right hand of the Father, directing his mission until all things are reconciled and restored. Everyone who in the heart of God is going to spend eternity with him needs to hear that message first. And so Peter says, we and our rulers, or you and our rulers, acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know why you were doing it. And yet, this great, unbelievable miracle that the one who is the author of life is the author of new life. He has come onto this planet to be snuffed out, to be put to death, and his own father uses that ultimate act of hatred, deeper than any other one, one that our old nature participates in, every one of us. For we all find fault with God about lots of things. And he acts as if it's his fault. And his son is put to death. But John and Peter say, you know, something else happened after that death. God raised him from the dead. The author of life is now alive again. He's at work here. He is at work throughout the world. He is at work until all things are restored. And so, in the midst of this broken world, we can breathe easier. We can breathe easier because we're not in it alone. We're not in it by ourselves. We're not in it as if it all depends on us. But we get to pour the forgiveness and the love of our God out on others, so that God, through Christ, by the Spirit, can write new chapters in the lives of people on this earth. So the one who is the author of life is writing our story. He is writing about us and who we are as his beloved children, as those who will live with him forever, and who even now get to live at peace and filled with joy. We may not be healed of our paralysis, but we have been healed of our eternal death. We have been healed of our brokenness from God, and God writes his story through our lives. So are you an author? Maybe not published, but every one of us are writing the story of salvation according to us with our Lord every single day, asking him to help us to love him with all our heart and soul and mind, and to love each other with his forgiving love. For that alone brings us life and brings us celebration and gives us hope in this broken world. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.